Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank you, those that have assembled with us via the conference call to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We found a pattern for worship in Acts chapter 2, verses 47 and verses 42, where the Bible shows us those five acts of worship that one participated in our worship to God. So we thank you again for being with us, those things being the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. And we praise God. And as the scripture says, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So if you're on the call, you've been invited on the call, and you've not obeyed the Lord in the sense that you've not had your sins remitted or forgiven through baptism. We'll share that with you at the close of the message on this afternoon. But again, we thank you for your presence, and we're thankful for all the members of Highland Heights and our sister congregations who've chosen to worship with us on this afternoon. As was read in your ears, we're looking at a follow-up from this morning message where we spoke from and the servant of the Lord must not strive. And we talked about that on this morning. We gave a biblical definition of the word strive, meaning to argue in an angry way, to have a verbal fight. So we want to find an example, a practical example, where we can draw from it what can come from that and allow the Word of God to bless us in this situation. So in Genesis chapter 13, and beginning at, we'll start at verse number 1 to set up our lesson that was read in your hearing. The title was read, "Let There Be No Strife Between Me and Thee." And again, the word strife, the word strive, has a very similar meaning. And we'll see as we open up the text on this afternoon. Also, see sometimes what can cause strife. We'll see in this situation what was the nature of the issue that caused strife among them. And then as blessed will be, how to resolve that situation, as we'll find for us in the Word of God. Beginning at verse number 1 of Genesis 13, the Bible reads, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai." So we find that Abraham was a wealthy person. What can accompany wealth is problems. It is the desire to have riches from which problems are born in many cases. The Bible records from us in Paul in his letter to Timothy and 1 Timothy, chapter number 6 and verse number 10, Paul wrote, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." So money can be a problem. Riches, if we're not careful, can take over our lives. And even in the church, sometimes we spend on our wants and pleasures, and then we give God what is left. But we'll find that was not the case with Abram. The Bible reads in verse 4, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Abram had great wealth. However, we see that he was still able to put God first. Abram, was a man of God. We find in Proverbs, we find that Abraham followed God, because in Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So Abraham understood, and we need to understand that when it comes to giving to the Lord, we give to the Lord first from that which God has allowed us to be blessed with, and then those other responsibilities that one may have, they take a second place to me giving to the Lord first. When I earn money, when I'm blessed with whatever checks I receive, I should be sure to give to God, take God's money out first, and note it to the Lord first, and then after that, those bills that we have to pay come after I have shown thanks to the Lord. And that's why when we worship God, all those acts of worship, my praise, my communing with the Lord, my praising God, my hearing the word of God, and my giving to God, all of them are equally important. The Bible says in verse number 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the Bible says, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. So even though you are a child of God, even though Abraham was a man of God, that does not mean, we'll talk about that, how the fact that we still will have challenges, even though we are servants of the Lord. And so then the Bible records from us, verse number 7, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. And so now we see there was a disagreement, an argument, an angry argument between Lot's cattlemen and Abraham's cattlemen, because of the fact they were in an area that could not bear them both. And so we must learn to deal effectively with problems that arise in a godly manner. We talked about some of that this morning. We still have to deal with matters, but we have to deal in a godly manner. Christians are human also. We disagree, and sometimes we argue with one another. Yeah. But the Bible records for us our blessing on this afternoon. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. And that's my subject title on this afternoon. Let there be no strife between me and thee. He said also, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. Why? For we are brethren. What Abraham was telling Lot, because of the fact we are family, we ought not have strife between us. The fact that we are a spiritual family, we are Christians, we ought to learn how to conduct ourselves in a manner that is pleasing to God. Christians must learn how to resolve our disagreements peacefully as brothers and sisters in Christ. If sometimes when you're trying to resolve things, we'll see from the text how Lot resolved this conflict, conflict resolution. What did Lot do to resolve the conflict? Notice what he did in verse number 9. Well, first of all, in verse number 8, the Bible says the first action in how was this conflict resolved, the Bible records for us that Abraham went to Lot. Yeah, that's the first thing. When you have an issue with one another, we need to take the responsibility to go to that person. Go to that person. And then allow for each of you to share with them resolving something. Abraham went to him, and the first thing he said to him, let there be no strife between us. Let us not argue. Let us not have a verbal fight, not between me and you, nor do I want it between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, because we are brothers. So number one, Abraham goes to Lot. And then verse number 9 tells us what he did. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou would take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. What we find is Abram in the text here. Abram offers a solution. So when you have disagreements, when you have conflict, when you have argument, we need to look for a solution. That's called conflict resolution. We have to find how to resolve this issue. Abraham offered to Lot. One solution could be you choose to go one way, I'll go the other way. Why? Because this land cannot hold the both of us. And we don't need to have arguments between my herdsman and your herdsman. You choose first where you want to go, and I'll go opposite. So we find that when we deal with conflict resolution, we find that what is necessary, sometimes concessions need to be made. We have to concede something. We have to form a compromise. We have to look at the situation and what compromises can I make to the compromising that the other person may want to make. And also, sometimes when you have conflict, oftentimes they need to be supported by apologies. Yeah, we need to take ownership of the fact that I may have caused some of this problem by my actions, by my statements, or my behavior. So I need to apologize for what I have done. I need to apologize. That's part of conflict resolution. And also, we need to be able to forgive or show forgiveness to someone. We talked about that this afternoon. This morning, where we talked from the scripture where Paul talked about how when a person is overtaken in a fault, when a person is in error, how you go to that person in a gentle, meek manner to try to resolve that issue and also to save that person who's in error, get that person to hopefully see themselves, and then allow that person the space that they can repent of those things. So we find that forgiveness may need to be offered, and depending on the nature of the situation, but it's the mindset that I approach. Abraham's mindset when he went to this situation was, I want to resolve this situation. I don't want the conflict. You know, sometimes as Christians, we want to grow to a point that we want to live in peace and with peace. You know, we said this just recently on the fact that Paul, in his Roman letter, we said this just recently, how Romans 12:18, the Bible records, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. We should try to live where we're at peace with those individuals, even those individuals that we may know that may not care for us. And they voiced it. Still, I want to carry myself in a manner that I'm trying to live peacefully, especially with those in the Lord's body. Everyone that is in the body. We talked this morning about there are some people that have gold character, and there are some people that have character like dirt. But we got to learn how to work with everybody and understand that, and Paul said earlier to Timothy, in a great house, in a congregation, you're going to have both characters. You're going to have gold, you're going to have people with silver character, then you're going to have people with wood, and you're going to have people with earthen character, meaning dirt. So you have all those in the Lord's body. But as a Christian, it's not how they treat me, it's how I respond to them. I have to learn that I have to respond to them in a manner that will be pleasing and acceptable to God. So as Abraham said on this afternoon, let there be no strife between me and thee. Let us use the process of conflict resolution, that we resolve those things by, one, going to the person and then offering a solution, as we find in the text that Abram did. He offered a solution, and then he was willing to make concessions. He was willing to, if necessary, to apologize and to be forgiving of the individual. That what? Guess what? So that we can be a walk in a manner that will be pleasing and acceptable to God. When we are in argument and disliking and hating one another, that's not pleasing in the sight of God. And so if you're here this afternoon and you want to become a Christian, as the Bible, we say, it teaches, one must be willing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find that in Romans, the first chapter, where Paul, when he had wrote to the Romans, shared with them, "For I'm not ashamed," verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, "of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So a person must hear those three facts of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day. One must believe that statement. Yeah, it's necessary that we believe. And then we have to also not only believe, but we have to repent of those things. The Bible tells us that in Romans 10, and the verse is number 16, Paul said, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report?" And the report is the message. The Bible says, "So then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Your faith comes from the word of God. I must believe those three facts, that Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, came down to this earth. He died for my sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. But in shedding his blood on the cross, he also purchased the church. So the Bible, Paul said to those individuals in Romans chapter number 2, verse 4, he said, for not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So one must not only hear the gospel, he must believe the gospel, he must repent of his sin, then he also must confess that which he believed. In Romans chapter number 10, we find in verse 9, Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So one must confess also that which he believed in his heart. And then Romans chapter 6 lets us know that 1:3 and following lets us know that we need to be baptized. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized in his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. And so we find that if a person is in sin, that's why Paul asked the question, shall we continue in sin? How do I rid myself of my sins? I have to initially be water baptized, and what the Lord does will add me to the church. The only one I can find in the Bible, Romans 16:16, is that descriptive phrase, the churches of Christ. So if you're on the call and you want to obey the Lord, get back with the person that invited you to the call, and we can make this happen, that you become a Christian and obey the Lord. We thank you again for your listening here on this afternoon. I now turn you back over to our song leader, who will offer the song of invitation. Thank you very much.